Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
If you will get to the trash of the day here in about 20 minutes. Also later on today, Josh Vernier, 12:30, check in with our Royals insider, Jay Binkley, in studio on the 1 o'clock hour to talk NFL draft as we are 8 days away from the draft. That means also a week from tomorrow is our draft party at the Landing in Liberty. Hope to see all of you up there. Broadcast starts at 6 o'clock. Chance to win $965 if you can correctly pick how the draft is going to go. Plus an autographed helmet from one Juwan Taylor. But let's talk about the future sites for maybe the Royals and the Chiefs. And it'd been a long time since we have talked about Clay County.
Probably
maybe
since a rendering came out years ago.
Clay County being in the mix. And so this all got stirred up again yesterday. Jonathan Katz over at Fox 4 had the story initially on this, that they got new information. I'll just read you some of the article. They got new information out of Clay County leaders Tuesday saying that a new poll's been conducted to see if there is interest in bringing the Royals north of the river. Residents got asked these questions around Sunday, April 13th, to gauge their interest in a stadium in that county. And it goes back to go through and sum up kind of where the renderings were that you were referencing, Cody. It looked like near 18th and Fayette in North Kansas City, and what a ballpark could look like near 12th and Cherry in downtown. And that was the two renderings. And at the time, remember, we both liked the North KC rendering, the concept of it.
I thought it was the best of the renderings, actually. Yeah.
Looking, you know, in the distance, you could see downtown off in the distance, but their whole idea, it seemed like that was really, really neat. And we can get into more specifics about that in a second, but it goes on in this article to mention that Democratic Missouri State Senator Maggie Nirenberg says there have been very close conversation with the Royals about bringing a ballpark to North Kansas City. She, by the way, represents Clay County, just for, so you know, in the state legislature. She did also say, though, in the same piece, I have not had direct conversations with the Royals on this issue, but she does have an understanding that they're very serious about this spot. I think it's really going to come down to if we're going to do a stadium in Missouri. This is, I think, the top spot right now. That is one person's opinion, obviously, who is involved in the Missouri State Legislature.
And represents and that area.
And that's important to know. I'm not saying, but just for context. My question with this is a couple things. We heard from John Sherman, June or July, they hope to announce. We haven't heard about the Clay County site for eight months,
so
at least, right? If not more.
Way longer.
Yeah, because
pre-vote.
Yeah, so like, okay, let's call it
maybe 2 years, a year and a half.
800 days?
Yeah.
600 days?
So like, this one was dead and buried and gone. And we always viewed it, you and I from the beginning, viewed it as a long shot. Is it weird that I actually think it, I still don't think it'll be the site chosen, but I think it has a better shot now than it did then because you still get near downtown. Is it a downtown ballpark? No. I kind of want to be clear on that. Yeah. Is this downtown baseball? No. Is it closer to downtown baseball than being at like that, let's say, town center spot? Yes, it's closer to being that level of there, and you would get yourself close enough-ish to downtown that maybe you could extend yourself to that area. They still have the same problems. It would take massive infrastructure to do it, but I'll say I like this spot. Like if you just said, hey, choose suburbs and not it's not just because of the area of town I live in. I know that'd be an
it is
easy
very
excuse.
Close to you. It is.
It would be dangerously close to me. I understand that they would be like, well, you're just choosing it because of that.
Yeah.
no, I mean, I could see why that would be a logical leap. I'm just telling you that's not, Golden, I've had enough conversations off air. He knows that that's not it. If you made me say, hey, let's go to the town center or somewhere in that like Overland Park, Olathe area or Legends, or I could be the North Kansas City side, North Kansas City. The River Market's already kind of growing a little bit. They just broke ground on that area near the current stadium. You would be close-ish to downtown, not downtown, admittedly. And I like the area that they put it in and the site plans that they had put out for the renderings in that area. I would like this site better. And if she's saying, I think this is like the Royals way of being like, we're still trying to kind of stick to our original plan. And we're trying to be close to it, but we can't necessarily make the old plan work.
How many of the same questions remain with the Clay County site from before? Because one,
infrastructure.
The everybody acknowledged that the infrastructure, ingress, egress, like if you're coming from the South in particular, how do you make that work? And the amount of money that would be required to make that site work from a traffic, et cetera, standpoint, which was a fair question at the time. And that one would still obviously remain if they're back in the mix. Yeah. The other part was, okay, well, of course, how are you paying for it? And the talk there was because of population difference from like Clay County compared to Jackson County. Yeah, you're talking about a full cent or 1%, whatever. Yeah, full cent, I think, is what it was for a sales tax. And is that something that people can actually handle, frankly, up there? But in this piece from Fox 4, it mentions that they believe maybe there's some new mechanisms of funding, which goes back to the bill that is still sitting in the Missouri legislature, which would allow them to have some similar tools to get the financial package together, as in creating their version of, let's call it, the star bonds on the Missouri side. We know Kansas already has that. So that's what's interesting. That'd be the only thing that has changed that would, to me, make me believe that that site could be back in play. It would have to be because they believe they're going to eventually get this bill done in the Missouri legislature that would allow them access to more funding to create these separate district entertainment districts. Because otherwise, the 1% or the 1 cent, I'm sorry, issue and hurdle still is there. The rendering we all love, but I still think none of these sites are perfect. We all know that, but weird. Why are we hearing about it? You know, 3 months before the reported new deadline.
I don't think the Royals want to be in the Kansas suburbs. Like that is so the antithesis of what their dream description was. The Chiefs never described their dream. It's either I fix Arrowhead or we don't really care. We'll go anywhere in the city. And she got asked about the Chiefs practice facility in that area that got mentioned. And she had said, even though she's in Missouri, like she would prefer that they just stay at the Arrowhead side and do the Jackson County thing and stay where they are and, you know, kind of represent that part of the town and that part of the area and just kind of be where they were. Like, I think, and it's not to say that it can't work. I told you, like, I still think it's kind of crazy for the people to be like, well, they go to Kansas. That's it. I'm out. That's nuts.
We've addressed it.
Doesn't matter which part of Kansas it's in. I'm going to go watch the Royals. Doesn't matter which part of Missouri or Kansas
they're in. You guys know I live on the Kansas side. My entire life, I have had no problem going out to the Truman Sports Complex.
I never thought about
going
it,
to T-Mobile Center downtown. Like, you going, I have season tickets for the KC Current, also in Missouri. Like, I have no problem. I really can't. I don't want to say I can't fathom, because I get there are some people that nobody's ever going to be. You're not going to get everybody on board.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't get the notion of like, oh my gosh, for one of the local pro teams, you might have to drive an extra 15 minutes across this imaginary border and spend money in another state. I do it every year my entire life for sporting events. Like, every year.
Yeah, and it's not a huge deal. Especially, I'll just be honest, especially for football, I would just tell you, because you go 8 times in a 16-week turn, it's really not that bad. But I think that kind of goes back to the baseball thing, which is we want to build a site. We want to be centrally-ish located. Downtown is about as central as you can get. You can get there in 20 minutes from your spot in Overland Park. I can get there in 20 minutes from my spot in the Northland. People who are coming from the airport area or Olathe, like everyone's driving a similar-ish, not perfect, similar-ish distance, where I think that that's how they want to do. That's how they want in the end to do baseball. If they're serious, and these conversations have really happened, I think it's about that. I think it's about, if we can't make downtown work, will Clay County give us the money and we can be close?
Yeah, and the site, if you guys remember, the renderings can change and all that kind of stuff.
The
rendering from the original Clay County site that was brought up. The original rendering, the pitch there was Wrigleyville. That was the pitch. Hey, we're going to...
Wrigleyville's awesome.
And anybody that's been to Wrigleyville, it's that neighborhood feel. It's not a downtown feel. It's a neighborhood feel, but could be really interesting and it could still give you the avenue to have the retail around the area and the real estate that the Royals once from the very beginning claimed they wanted to own, right? And they wanted to have the local development to bring in more revenue that they claim would go back into the team. And that was the whole gist. And that's why you and I, the 119th and Null site thing, just
it's already established, more established. I don't know
where it didn't make as much sense. Yeah. Whereas this Wrigleyville thing could be interesting. I'm still skeptical that they end up in Clay County, but the fact that it's being brought back up is kind of interesting. Remember, Clay County is also trying to establish a Clay County Sports Authority through the Missouri legislature as well, giving them the ability to do that. So I'm wondering if that's where these comments are coming from.
Yeah, and it very well could be. Again, they're trying to get these things going. But the fact that she admits in there she has not had direct conversation with the Royals yet, but is also at that same time claiming that those conversations have taken place. I'm looking at the renderings again. That was the best rendering of the Royals designs.
It's a cool sight. It was.
I don't know if it would look like that in the end. I'm just saying that's the best. And and people are always just mentioning, if both North Kansas City and JoCo defeat the purposes of a downtown stadium, why move? I just think the North Kansas City location is closer to offering that. I'm not claiming it's a downtown stadium. It's not. And why move? They don't want to be a Kauffman anymore.
They've already said, no matter what happens here, they're not playing at Kauffman after the 2030 season.
We can ask that question. If you just, and I'm not saying I go out to Kauffman Stadium and it's 70 degrees. I really do have a hard time fathoming a ballpark that is prettier than that one. I love Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah.
It's not even that. But I'm just if you just want to deal with what we're saying, they are not going to play in that stadium over the long
haul. That part is over. That's the only thing we do know the end. That's the only thing we do know.
The question is, what do you want them to do now that they're not going to play in Kauffman Stadium after 2031? That's just dead. We could talk about why not just Kauffman, but that defeats the purposes of figuring out where the stadium's actually going to go. To everyone's point, it's we just drive over the city. If I'm going to a sporting game, I drive to KCK. If I'm going, I don't know. I think you and I are probably in the minority. I get it. We don't, I just don't, care. I'll just go where the
I also think
are.
It's something that, and the numbers will bear it out over time, if, in fact, one of these teams does move out of Missouri, that's something that I think is very easy to say in the moment. And then fast forward 7 years from now, are you still thinking that way? Look, and this means I'm not even trying to be a jerk with this comment, but the one fan or two fans that say we're not going to do it, it's not like the Royals are going bankrupt because
They think they'll find more people who hadn't been coming from the Northland.
Right. There's plenty of people on the flip side that weren't willing to drive there where they're at now from maybe it's Olathe, maybe it's Overland Park, maybe it's Payola, DeSoto, whatever. And now they're like, I'm willing to go there. On a Wednesday night, is it easier for me to go blank spot than this spot? It'll be different for everybody. It'll be different for everybody depending on where you live in the Kansas City metro area. But acting like, that they're just now going to have no season ticket base or anything like that if they move to a different area of town is, I'm sorry, just not accurate.
We know tomorrow the NFL draft will be 1 week away as it is tomorrow. Brett Veach will actually talk at 10 a.m. about their pre-draft process right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. But last week, as a part of the beginning parts of media availability and the free agent signings, Charles Minnehue spoke to the media, and Nate Taylor, our friend who will join the show tomorrow, was writing it up on The Athletic about it. And in the article, Charles Minnehue once again had bold things to say about his game. I'm going to make everyone regret not giving me the long-term deal, right? I'm going to prove everyone wrong. The kind of attitude he's had over the last couple of years. And what I was trying to ask myself is, because this relates to the draft, is can the pass rush just be better than it was a year ago if we're counting on and believe Charles Minnehue when he says career year? It's weird because if we're just talking about play, I actually think the answer is yes. But it comes with a massive caveat of his entire career, which is, are you going to be on the field for 17 games? Because if he's on the field, I actually think Charles Minnehue's not, he's telling the truth.
Right.
He will prove people that he's worth the contract or worth more than the contract he signed. My old question with Minnehue is not about ability or his motivation level or what he does with that motivation. It's whether or not he can play.
Well, there's a reason why he came back. There's a reason why he came back on a 1 year deal. We know that was not the plan when free agency began. And you saw the Turk Wharton deal. And so you just assumed he was going to get way more money for his services moving forward. But one time when he missed, it was his own doing, right? He had the suspension due to a off the field issue. Then the other time in an AFC title game, he tore an ACL, which caused him to miss, 80% of last season, 90% of last season, and then he came back. So can he stay healthy? Can he stay away from any off-the-field issues? If he does that, he's playing a full season, and I think he could have one of his best years of his career, and then he potentially could go sign somewhere else again after this next season on a multi-year deal and get that. Otherwise, he will be playing on one-year deals the rest of his career. Like, if he doesn't stay healthy this year,
if he plays 11 games, even if he has 8 sacks in those 11 games, yeah, he'll just get a one-year deal with whatever team, like you said. Yeah. Do you think that it's enough to just count on him? I mean, I know they'll draft a defensive lineman. I'm not arguing that. But can they go into the season knowing that the primary output they're getting from the defensive line is Chris Jones, Mike Dana, Charles Amenihue, and George Karloftis again? Because that's really the question you're asking yourself about Amenihue is, are they good enough on edge based on his own personal admittance that he's going to, like, wreck the league again? Like, I just think Amenihue is a really, really good player when he plays. Like, maybe borderline a little underrated in the league when he plays. But you and I have said that maybe for a couple of years now, Gold, and I don't know, 1 year was it was a suspension for off-the-field stuff 1 year, right? And then last year, obviously, it was him coming back from the eventual Achilles injury, I believe it was, in the AFC Championship game. So, like, he's constantly having to try to work his way back. If he's fully healthy, I love what Charles Amenihue brings to the team. I also do like that he has, for the most part, never wavered in his confidence as a player, and when he plays, backs it up to a pretty good extent.
No, he has throughout his career, and you always like the fact that a player is going to go and motivate. We know he was very upset at the time when free agency opened up. Initially, he was vocal on Twitter and social media. People took that as like he was mad with the Chiefs and he wasn't going to sign here, and ultimately he came back. It's just he was frustrated. He thought he was worth a certain dollar amount. The Chiefs were not willing to go there, and then he went on the open market and he found out, you know what? Hey, the Chiefs weren't wrong. That is what my market is. And so that's a tough pill to swallow for anybody, whether we're talking about an athlete or anybody. If you think you're worth more and everybody's telling you you're not, that's a tough thing to hear. And so that's why he was so vocal, I assume, on social media.
That's what
that
Tennessee quarterback's hearing right now.
Yeah, well, I think he's being
blacklisted.
At the end of the show yesterday, we said, like, you know, it's some, not even a conspiracy theory, but just like very clearly they're going to make sure that he doesn't win this battle going back to the Tennessee.
Because no other team wants to be put in that position. And if you cross the picket line, which is, I think, what would happen here. Do we all agree that if UCLA gave him the $4 million, they're essentially crossing the picket line against every other team in college football. Yeah. There's an unforeseen strike happening right now against this player. He's obviously talented enough to go
there. Their offer reportedly is also significantly less.
They probably have a little less money to spend around him. Later in the system.
He's not getting what he made at Tennessee ever. That's not happening. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like that.
That's why Tulane dropped out.
Yeah. He's not getting the amount of money that he just turned down from if he would have stayed at Tennessee. He made what's going to now turn out to be a terrible financial decision. He got awful advice. We said that at the time. Anyway, not to go back down that road. Let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
All right, we go to an international story. A smuggling ring. Oh. What are they smuggling, you might ask? We'll get to that in a second.
Drugs, this guns, story those comes, are the normal this, things.
This,
you know?
This story comes from Madrid. Spanish police have arrested two people in connection with the sale of exotic felines. A cat smuggling ring.
Yeah. Who's smuggling cats?
Authorities seized 19 animals in an operation in Manacor, I believe. The Civil Guard said in a statement, more than 40 irregular animal passports from countries such as Russia, Belarus, and China were also found. The operation began in March. The suspects are alleged to have offered for sale white tigers, clouded leopards.
Oh,
for,
they these were aren't asking, just your regular old house
no,
cats.
These are
big cats.
Yeah, cats. Uh-huh. They were asking around $68,000. Also, hyenas, leopards, pumas. Yeah, the whole lion kingdom.
You got too much money, in my opinion. If you're like, you just sit around your house one day and you're like, hey, you know what I really want? Some black market hyenas. Mm-hmm. Can you, just buy a new sports car or something. You don't need a hyena. I guess who is like, Gold, even if you had that kind of money, who in your circle of people is not telling you, you don't need a clouded leopard or a white tiger this weekend or a hyena for $60,000? What the hell are you going to store that thing in? What contractor do you get the hyena cage? And I do also wonder, like, how you even get in that game. How do you start in the side business of the sale of exotic felines?
You got to go down a long tunnel, I think, to get there.
Yeah, I don't think that's just like, oops, one day I accidentally stumble into dealing in hyenas. Like, no. I think you got to, like, your crime history really went down an interesting path. Or in your family history of dealing in exotic animals or something, you know, like your dad's. You'd take over the family business, you know?
Tiger King-esque. He wasn't smuggling, but still, like, how did you get involved in that?
I mean, I can understand.
It's all
how,
just like you're like it's
if
your
you
upbringing.
Had tigers, I could see like how you're selling one tiger to the exotic animal dealer. But how do you get to be the person who's trying to like smuggle them across like international waters? I guess I don't know. You think you can get away with that? Do you got to bribe a lot of people? Must be good money in it. Otherwise, why would you do it?
To sell them for $68,000.
What do you think your cost is on that? You know, like if you're selling the hyena for $68,000, what do you think you purchased the hyena for? Knowing your overhead, let's ask a real business question. You got overhead, right? You got to bribe people. You have to physically purchase the animal. You got to like transport it. Like if you're charging $68,000 to the inevitable buyer, what's your cost on that animal? $12,000, $15,000? Like I got to be getting and the risk part, right? I got to be thinking I'm only paying like $10,000.
I mean, but like smuggling has been going on since the dawn of time. You know what I mean? With different things. Like, I don't know what the overhead is, but like the idea of smuggling animals and stuff has been going on for centuries. Like, this is not overall a new concept, right? We're just hearing about it. It's probably much tougher to do now than it was then, but like, it's in terms of the enforcement. But like, people have been smuggling animals for centuries.
We've asked this question before, like in a friend group, right? Yeah. We constantly ask it about like any kind of thing. If I asked you, Gold, all right, right now, because like, I don't know how to get on the dark web, or I've never made an attempt to get on the dark web.
Sure.
Right now, Gold, I needed you to procure one exotic hyena for me, the exact one that is printed. How many days, months, years? You're starting right now. You're only going to pay me $100,000 a year to find me one hyena.
It's my only job.
It's your only job. How long before you could deliver a hyena to me?
6 months.
Okay.
If that was my job and that's all I had to focus on.
Yeah, I'm paying you like you're making 100 grand a year.
Within 6 months.
And you have no inroads. You know, like you don't know anybody in the exotic animal game now. You're going to have to convince them you're not a cop or an agent or anything else. Like, you're going to have to go through some sources to do it. I think it might take me a year. Maybe 6 months. 6 months, but 40 hours a week, right? Just, I want you to treat it like a regular job, Gold. Yeah. The only thing you're worried about is getting on the dark web and how to find me a hyena.
Yeah, Cody, 6 months.
You're talking.
Maybe less.
You're speaking like you're actually.
No.
Just
too much cost overrun. I don't need a hyena.
No. You asked how much it's going to be, and he's or how long it's going to be.
I can get you that hyena quicker than Drew ever shooting under 100 at Augusta.
Gold said 6 months, and you go, okay. You're actually considering the offer.
Name that tune.
Yeah.
Like he says 6 months. Okay, find me that hyena. Go quit this job and go find me a hyena.
Terrible.
Someone says you can probably get them for a few $100. Smuggling costs 3 to 5. Rest is profit. They think the hyena's cheap.
Do you guys just like sit and consider situations like where you have everything?
All the time.
Where you guys should just know exactly how you would go about it. You would never do it, but just a few $100. Smuggling costs $3 to $5,000. No problem.
Someone says 30 days. They think I'm being too conservative with the number.
They can give me one so much faster.
30 days.
Than you. 30 days.
30 days.
It's like, Drew, these are the kind of hypotheticals, and I can't speak for everyone's friend group. These are the kind of hypotheticals I would entertain with a friend group, right? Like, how long would take you to get, like, let's just say you took it like up a notch and you're like, how long would it take you to get a kidney? Like, unlimited resources. We're just talking time. Money is not the problem. I got Mark Zuckerberg cash. How long could I get a black market kidney? If it's just me, I don't have his resources. I don't have his. I don't have his like connections.
Maybe earlier,
but I have unlimited money. How quickly can I get someone's kidney?
Yeah, by the end of the week.
You might be able to get it sooner than just
that kind of money.
That
kind of money.
Yeah. That kind of money. You think? By a week, right?
Easily.
But $100,000 a year. You know, you're gonna have to source it.
It's gonna take some time. It's gonna take some time.
End of the week, Gold's just on a table getting a kidney transplant.
Imagine hyenas patrolling
today
your many decks.
Cody and Gold hypothetical edition. That's what today is on April 16th. Nothing but hypotheticals on Cody and Gold. That's what we do today.
It's going to be the name of this hour.
Up next, we going to get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll get another mock draft sounder in and talk about where does this one position rank among a need for us.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced.
Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Chiefs next week.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Getting closer and closer to the draft. We'll have another mock draft look in just a bit. Plus, Jay Binkley going to join us, our draft insider. He'll join us at 1 o'clock in studio. He's gearing up for their big draft special next Thursday night at the Landing in Liberty. We're all going to be up there. Going to be a great night waiting to see what the Chiefs do at 31. Plus, look, there's just plenty of intrigue in the top 10, even more now than there was a few days ago with questions about the Giants and Shedeur Sanders and the Saints be in play there. Is Travis Hunter actually going to go number two overall? There's plenty of intrigue. You know there's going to be a trade that surprises all of us at some point in the draft, which is why it'll make the draft contest we're doing that much more interesting and frankly difficult to try to figure out how the first 32 picks of the 2025 draft, which is taking place in Green Bay, is going to go. And I also can't wait to see what the scene looks like there in Wisconsin. We know what it's been here in Kansas City, in Detroit in recent years. Green Bay, having gone there for a Packers and Chiefs game, the bars and the rooftop bars just right next to the stadium and otherwise a pretty small town, the draft setup could be just insane. And that literally the whole town is going to be shutting down for that.
I do like that the NFL, understanding that they don't really love cold weather Super Bowls, has at least allowed cities like Kansas City and Green Bay and some of these other markets. There's only 32 of these, right? So like, let's take advantage of it a little bit and allow these people to allow these other cities to kind of get their chance to do the draft. So yeah, I love that it's in Green Bay. Yeah. I like that they're doing the cold weather stuff.
I think, Pittsburgh's coming up too, I think. Maybe even, there's been a few, obviously, Kansas City, Cleveland, and Detroit have had it recently, but I think they've booked it out a couple of years now. And it's been a great thing that the NFL's done once they moved it out of always having it in New York or whatever, and then they kind of rotate in Chicago for a little bit, but it's been pretty cool to see. Thinking of the draft, though, a position that I think more and more fans would be upset to see early is guard. And most of the mock drafts, if they go offensive line, have them taking a tackle. But there's been a few we've gone through over the last couple weeks into a month that have had guard. Where would you even put guard? Positional need, I guess, acceptance for you as a sports fan, Chiefs sure. fan.
I want to talk about it because there's so many national media members think that they're taking one in the first couple of rounds.
Because number one, depending on who you talk, number one is either, for most people, I think, the consensus. Defensive line or offensive lineman, but not necessarily guard, right? Like so let's go defensive line / edge as one position group, tackle as another. Let's separate the offensive line group because in the betting markets, they just list O-line and it counts as both. But if we separate tackle and guard, I would put offensive tackle as the second position group that I would be fine with them drafting. Behind defensive line, which includes edge rusher and tackle.
It'd probably be third for me, but it wouldn't
Who's,
be way off.
Second then?
If it's so defensive line would be one. Yeah, and then I would probably end up at like a skill position would be my guess before.
So like
maybe
wide
even
receiver.
Corner. Yeah, okay. It'd be tight. Like I'm not saying offensive tackle be there, but it's like in the first round, I told you, it's like my hangup is I want to make sure that they're getting a position that helps them now. That's more important for me, at least in the moment, but it's probably close. Look, here's the problem with guard, and this is where I don't understand like this immediate need. I'm not saying that there's not questions about what do you do in the long term, but right now I'm just going to assume, because that's clearly the plan, that Trey Smith has got guard locked up for 5 years on one half of the side, and then I kind of think Kingsley's got a chance to start their 2 or 3 years. So like, I don't see the immediate need other than to offer conversations. These are the list of positions, and I'm curious, stop me when. These are the positions I would put as a higher need than guard for Kansas City. Offensive tackle, as you mentioned, and defensive line, both spots, defensive tackle and defensive end, if we're breaking it down individually. Corner, wide receiver, running back, safety. Like, it might be only above punter and kicker as far as direct need in the draft this year for me. Maybe I'm just too optimistic, but they've got Norzad, Caliendo, and Kingsley to compete for the spot.
It's way down the list. I would put it in the same category as drafting a safety. I think when they brought back Mike Edwards and
they bought themselves time there
to me, they've told me that they're not going to spend a pick on safety. And if they do, it's going to be way later in the draft. So yeah, I would go defensive line, edge tackle, running back, corner, wide receiver, before I would even start having a conversation about a guard. But I get the sense they will draft one at some point. You know, I think they will draft one even if it's the fifth round. I don't know if they have a fifth round pick, but you get the point. Late round pick. So that's where I'm like, nobody should be mad with one of the 3 7th round picks they have if they spend it on guard. Like
But that's where I would put I wouldn't be mad if they took a punter there either. So like, I'm not, you know, I just think generally maybe don't draft punters, but once we start talking about the 7th round, there are no bad. They don't have a fifth. That one went in the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Okay. But when we start talking about those positions of need, it's like I would put defensive end and defensive tackle ranked above it twice. Like if you said, hey, by position and how many you need, I would put defensive end there twice ahead of need before guard and defensive tackle there twice. I'd rather they take 4 guys at those positions before taking a guard. Like that's how far down the list it is for me this year. I'm not saying ever. And if they didn't sign Trey Smith, I'd probably be having a slightly different conversation. Or if they thought they weren't going to sign Trey Smith,
well, we're going to find out.
I'd probably be having a slightly different conversation.
We're going to find out how confident they are in Kingsley / Caliendo / Norzad, basically, depending on how high they take a guard. If they take a guard, someone said, "Hey, if they go online, and I mean any O line other than center, with the first and second round pick, I'd be happy." What position group is the only reason we've lost 2 Super Bowls? O-line, right? Get help. Yeah, I would argue it's tackle, though, not guard. I hear what you're saying. Yes, the offensive. I would argue they have not lost the 2 Super Bowls where the O-line was a disaster because of the guards that they didn't have on the team. I would say it was because of tackle play.
Yeah, but I think Caliendo was the thing. Now, he got kind of burnt in that Philly game.
Well, the entire team got burnt. I mean, I just like that one is one of those where it's like the entire roster was a disaster.
Everyone has to take the L on the offensive line, not just left tackle, not just left guard, the whole thing. That's why, again, yeah, like tackle would be higher. And I think some of them are kind of like, like I wouldn't take, like we mentioned, I just said I'd take four defensive tackles and defensive edge players before I take a single guard. I wouldn't do that for offensive tackle. I wouldn't do that for safety. It's like guard might very well be last on my list before punter and kicker or long snapper, which are just positions you don't draft, right? Like I would take, I just wouldn't draft it unless it was the seventh round. It's not from, it wouldn't be on any of my list outside of that. Unless it's the guy who you think might be a guard, but could still be a right tackle. Then we're having a slightly different conversation. Then I would re-engage
or
in
they
that.
Don't feel, or they internally
hate Kingsley,
do not like
option, yeah.
their option of Kingsley or Caliendo.
You'd rather
at,
than draft a linebacker over a guard?
Okay, linebacker. That was the one spot I knew I was forgetting a position. Oh, they just signed
I think
Bolton.
Guard would still
they
be in front
tranquil.
Of guard is still in front of Chill. Linebacker and safety.
Okay, just based on positional importance, linebacker would be below it. It's one of the few. That's a good one to point out, Drew. That's one of the few I would probably rank below. Because, yeah, they do have a huge chunk of their linebacker core kind of locked up for now. And that's the kind of position, like, guard a little bit too. But linebacker is legitimately a position I think I can find the starter in the same year I draft him. Like, there's no, like, messing around. Like, I can just take a second-round linebacker and they're immediately my starter. So, like, if next year I need a linebacker, I can just find that next year. I don't have to draft ahead at linebacker. I can, but you don't have to. You can just kind of find that. So, like, it's a little bit different for me from a positional value. So maybe that's one of the few. Oh, God, they're going to take a linebacker in this one, and I'm going to lose, like, in the first round.
Mm. No.
And I'm going to lose.
I don't think
John Campbell.
Has there been a single
mind.
Has there been a single mock draft that had him taking a linebacker in the first
the
round?
The Chiefs, no. But Jihad Campbell is the guy that would get selected in the first round.
Okay.
He's like an athletic freak in nature. The dude's going to probably go in the teens.
Cincinnati should draft him.
They should for sure take somebody on defense.
If they drafted Jihad Campbell, great.
Yeah.
Fine.
Who are they getting projected to get right now? What's
Start there. You look.
Give me who their pick is in this mock draft, and then we'll.
The pick in this mock draft is your boy Derek Harmon.
What? Ugh, offensive.
The mock draft we're looking at is from.
It's 17. They get Derek Harmon. Man, I better might have let that dream die. Damn.
From the Beast, Dane Brugler. He came up with this mock draft.
Man, I respect him too. Damn, he's got him 17.
Seven rounder boys we're looking at here.
Oh God. Okay, let's find out the guard.
Wait, hold on. Dane Brugler.
Dane Brugler
calls himself the Beast.
No, that's the name.
I'm about to have a conversation. I was about to say. I thought there was already a Mr. Beast.
You're allowed to have nicknames that somebody else give you if you self-proclaim yourself.
Yeah, agreed. It's a problem.
That's where it becomes an issue. All somebody else calls you that, but
his draft is called
Dane
the Beast.
Brugler
his
comes like draft out guide. With the Beast
Thank
draft
you.
Guide.
He ranks like every player who is draft eligible in the entire thing, and then does a full seven round.
Gotcha.
Knock.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
It's a big thing in the draft community.
Okay. So round one, there's no trades in this, as far as I can tell. He just goes straight up. Every single pick that they have at 31. Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from
that's a familiar face.
Ohio State.
Yeah, look, we get it. There's not much more to say about him individually. We've talked about him so much. I'm not going to throw a fit if they draft him there. We've gone over the reasons why they would draft that player, what it could mean for the long term. It would give them multiple options in 2026 for left and or right tackle.
If you want to know the players who go directly after him, 35, Luther Burden. So Chiefs fans would lose their mind. Travion Henderson, Drew's guy, goes at 39 in that draft. Ursary, another tackle who's been mentioned, goes 41. So if you're just like, hey, where are guys?
Quinchon Judkins 44.
Yeah, so like if you're just curious, like some of the guys we've mentioned, like you've mentioned Walter Nolan, he goes 25 in this draft.
What are you looking for?
Colson Loveland, 14.
Colts.
Overall in this draft. So, like, you know, some of the other, and Eamon Worry, who I mentioned at 31 yesterday, he's got going at 13. There's a couple of swing players in this draft that I.
He has the Jags taken. Ashton Jeanty, fifth overall.
Oh, yeah. You know, do it a third time. You took ETN too high and Fournette too high. Why not the Jags? That'd be the third time they took a running back in the top 10.
New regime, though.
You ever going to learn a lesson?
Yeah.
It's fine. Second round pick. This is a new name, Trey Harris, wide receiver from Ole Miss.
Mm.
With size? 63.
I'm not familiar with that name. What's his size? Is he like 6'1"? Is he like 5'7" and runs like a 4.3
4.5 40 4.5 40, it looks like.
Oh, so he's not super fast.
More of a playmaking guy.
Possession style receiver, huh?
6'2", 205.
Oh. Well, I'll say that's slightly different than the position, because they've got the speed guy. They don't necessarily need the, like, because of Xavier Worthy, I don't know. Like, I actually think that could
Pierce.
Use
a... Alec Pierce is his comp.
Okay. I liked Alec Pierce coming out of the draft. That hasn't exactly worked out, but like, I like that kind of style of wide receiver. It's like better Juju, right? The idea is like, it's like a younger Juju, not better, but younger Juju Smith-Schuster. Okay.
In the last 2 years, he averaged about 18 yards per catch.
In college, that's like the equivalent of like 13 in the NFL.
Well, especially at Ole Miss. I mean, where they
missed, missed a couple games last year. Looks like missed five games with a lower body injury in 2024. Second team AP All-American.
Obviously, two third-round picks for the Chiefs at 66. Defensive tackle Alfred Collins.
That's another new name.
From Texas. He's a guy that's been in that range of
all the way down
late
to round
second
three, huh?
Into the third as well. And then Cam Scataboo at pick 95.
Yep, that's the name everybody knows.
From Arizona State.
We've talked about him a lot. I don't think he's the right style back for them, even though he's the name and he's fun to watch.
He's got good vision, and the guy just doesn't go down.
Damn, my guy Harold Fannin Jr. goes the pick after Scataboo. I'd rather have Fannin.
All right, here we go. Go back to Alfred Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive tackle, as you said, 6'6", 332.
Dear God.
6'6", 330. Javon Kinlaw is the comp for him.
Okay.
Here's the strengths listed. A-plus body type with well-proportioned frame and premium length. Long arm move, swims.
I hope one day to have somebody describe my body as A-plus body type.
Yeah.
It's like just one time in my life.
It says knee bend and pad level can get away. And very importantly, even though Cody doesn't acknowledge it, his mother was a women's basketball letter winner at Texas. Is that good for you? What about that will work for you?
Why does Zerline keep mentioning
family
that
pedigree.
Like
Benita,
his family?
Show some respect to Benita. She was a women's basketball letter winner at Texas in the 90s. So that's the lineage. It's the bloodlines.
Good athletes in the family, yeah. Is what you're saying. God, this is really bad. If any of my kids ever become professional athletes, no one will ever think they're going to make it because I was myself not even a Division I athlete.
It doesn't hurt when you find out their parents were a high-level athlete. That's all. Just add that to the long list of things you're putting together.
I honestly don't. Like, we could argue about the player a little bit at Scataboo, right? Because I think that you and I both kind of want a more explosive player, maybe. But at pick 96, I'm certainly an objective. So far, Dayton Beluga, I wouldn't, come in on a Monday and be upset with this draft.
No, solid. It's solid.
Who do they take in the fourth round? Since he did a seven, go ahead and give them all to me.
Fourth round is where your guard comes in. Bryce Cabledue from Kansas.
Okay. Okay.
Is he good?
Sure.
Come on, Cole. I'm counting on you for any Kansas knowledge. Come on, man.
Cody, you want me to BS you?
Hey, college podcast kid. Come on, Drew.
You
follow the locals way more than the three of us.
You want me to BS you that I was watching the guard play?
Very, very particular.
No, I was not watching. I know the name.
What do you think of Cabledue? Is that how he pronounces it?
I think it's Cabledue.
Cabledue. I don't
know if there's any way to really slice it in particulars about Bryce. I wasn't watching Bryce single-handedly on Saturdays, you know?
Okay, that's fine.
I'm with you, Drew. Neither was I.
You know what? I'm going to ask Binkley. You know who would watch guard play on a Saturday?
Bink's probably listening. He'll be ready to go. When he comes in studio with us, he'll have a whole...
Binkley.
No picks in the fifth or sixth round, of course, for the Chiefs either. They got three in the seventh. That's where another tackle comes in. Caleb Etienne from BYU. Also tight end Luke Lakey.
All the other Etienne's?
I don't know.
Okay. Luke Lakely?
Luke Lakey from Iowa, tight end. And then edge rusher Ethan Downs with Mr. Relevant from Oklahoma.
I forgot. Actually, I found my notes on Cabledue. You asked.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
I apologize.
I had to go back in
those racks a little bit. You forgot that you take notes during the game.
My bad. I went back and I pulled up an old folder on my computer. I forgot I had every KU player's notes that I wrote down for the season. My bad, guys. I forgot. He was a four-year starter. Good quickness off the ball. Keeps chopping his feet through contact. Not much of a knee bender, though, Cody, as a run blocker. That's concerning. Punches with his wide hands. Those were the notes I put down for Cabledue.
It makes sense for him to go in the fourth round.
Yeah, makes sense. Those were my bad, guys. Those were the notes I had on KU players.
I think an intriguing pick, though, is Luke Lakey. Late, obviously, there's no risk reward, really, with seventh round picks. There's only reward, I guess. There's no risk at all whatsoever. And, of course, you look at the pedigree of Iowa tight ends. And you tell yourself, you know, this actually might be, if you're going to pick a tight end in the seventh round, it might as well be a guy from Iowa.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, seventh round picks, I'm not going to be offended by. I feel like the fourth rounder, because you've only got those five picks in the first four rounds, I kind of want you to not take a guard. But it's in the fourth round. I'm not going to, lose my mind. I'd rather see if corner depth or Again, more defensive line depth exists there, especially because the defensive line goes so deep. I don't know if I wouldn't want to
guard,
spend the pick
guard
there,
picked but. In the fourth round. Does he have a legit? Are they
overall?
Gonna,
no, they'd be in the running. They'd have like a like Trey say, Smith.
They'd be competing. You'd be competing.
Are they giving any a shot against Kingsley? Okay, yes.
That's the appeal of taking him in the fourth, is that they would be in the running day one of training camp. I think that that is the number one camp battle. Like, truthfully, is that I think if they took one in the third or the fourth round of guard, I think that is the number one camp battle going into St. Joe next year. Is that can somebody beat out Kingsley or, you know, if it's not Kingsley, one of the other two guys for guard? Yeah, I think that'd be there. Do you like the local? Do you like who's your favorite? If you could draft one Kansas player, the corner who gets mentioned,
Kobe
Devin
Bryant.
Neal. Okay, Kobe Bryant. Yeah, I was like. Just, I didn't know.
Kobe
didn't know
Bryant's intriguing later on in the draft. He's not. He's not going
to
be
mocked anywhere from the third to the fifth round.
Yeah, he's probably a middle round guy. Kobe Bryant out of the mix. Devin Neal gets the headlines because he's running back and people like, you know, a skilled position player like that. Kobe Bryant would be a little more realistic to me later on in the draft. A-plus body type with well-proportioned frame and premium length.
That's what everyone wants to hear about themselves, you know, in this world.
That's exactly right.
A-plus body type. Okay.
Premium length. Yeah.
Some It'd be really concerning if Zuerlein had a D-minus body type listed for anybody. That'd be really concerning.
I mean, if they're a seventh round pick, he's like, he's just, the body's bad, but everything else is fine.
What's the grade for the for our guy who's like 6'5", 420? I forget his name, from Florida.
Didn't list one. This mammoth of a being?
Yeah, yeah.
They
said
God,
he was losing a little weight.
What's the name of the player from Florida?
I can't remember his name.
The 400-pound player.
D-tackle, yeah.
Desmond Watson.
That's right.
Desmond Watson.
Is he four bills?
6'5", 400. 464. We were being nice at 400.
Whoa, he's close to five.
Yeah.
Dang.
Could you, I just.
I mean, it'd be hard. Like, I don't know how you, like.
Can you imagine,
I don't know how you move
in
the
Saint
line
Joe,
to get around him, I'll say.
Can you imagine if we were in St. Joe and it's a 98-degree day, and I know he was in Gainesville. It's humid as heck there. But in St. Joe, we're doing our show, and the first day of padded practice, this dude comes walking down the hill at 6'5", 464. Now, he probably, as you said, maybe he's lost
a
little
bit. I want to block him. No matter how good you are as an offensive lineman, like, just blocking him sounds like a nightmare.
Feels like good in the run stuffing department. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Desmond Watson. I don't think there's a write up on him. I don't think from Zuerlein.
Is this on your list of players you hope they draft now?
Sure. In the sixth round, if he's there, I don't know where he's supposed to go. Just because it'd be fun. It'd be fun during training camp, I feel like.
I thought I saw a headline that said he was trying to like shed a few.
Right, but there's a limitation to that. I mean, like shedding a few for him might be still 395 or 400. And that's no disrespect,
like
but like that's
pounds.
Just the reality. He's not going
still.
From,
that's a big.
He's
difference.
Not going from 464 to
lighter
two,
on your
two,
feet.
He's not going from 464 to 310.
Get him awake in 180. See if we can't get him to 400. Play it, you know, just play it 405. 464. 6 foot six, man. I don't know how you move him. Like I legitimately do, and like I understand those guys are really strong, but like I don't know.
Could you bring him in as the fullback on the tush push?
I think he needs.
He's the fullback, and he's pushing.
Let's
imagine a world. Let's imagine the
world
on
the opposite end,
like on a team that actually is willing to do QB sneaks. Like it wouldn't happen in Kansas City, but if he was on any other team,
you mean you snap him the ball?
I did see.
No.
He's not carrying the ball. Yeah. Although Florida has had some packages, I believe, this past year where he did.
He was a fullback. Essentially,
I did go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, have him as the fullback, and he's the guy pushing. Could you imagine that? Or he's the lead blocker for a second.
I did look it up because I was curious.
He's running over dudes.
Do you want to know the biggest guy in the NFL and the biggest guy in NFL history? Because he would be that. He would be the biggest. Last year, the biggest player to play in the NFL was Ravens tackle. Did anybody know how to pronounce his name? F-A-A-L-E-L-E. He was 6'8", 380 pounds, a full 80 pounds less than him.
I'm not sure.
The heaviest player said to be in NFL history is Bears tackle Aaron Gibson, who was listed at 4'10".
Okay.
So, like, I mean, he'd be playing 50 pounds heavier than any player in NFL history.
Do we know how tall he was at 4'10", though? Because, I mean, 6'6", I wonder if that, I mean, obviously it proportions you out a little bit differently.
Like,
taller.
Mitch over at Kelly sent me a text, and this is a great way to look at this. He's 465. Vince Wilfork, remember how big of a human he was?
Yeah.
He played at 325.
What?
The idea that he is 100 pounds more is like, whoo!
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, against Tulane, Florida used this Desmond Watson kid at fullback in the Gasparilla Bowl.
Did it work?
I mean, I don't know. I didn't look up the Gasparilla Bowl, but But it's pro day. Think about, though, this is crazy. As much as we're saying how big this dude is, think about the athleticism he has to have, though, to do what he does. So he had 36 reps on the bench press, more than any other player at the combine. Ran a 5.93, guys, for a 40-yard dash. He ran a 5.93, and he's
Faster than I might run it today.
Well, of course, probably, yeah.
Well, the last time we ran the combine was like 5 years ago in the station. I ran some of it then, but I
with
won't now.
All that weight, he recorded a 25-inch vertical. That's insane.
That's crazy.
He wasn't at the combine, but this is all pro day stuff. He didn't get a combine invite. He would become the heaviest NFL draft pick in history, as you said. Also, he would surpass Trent Brown at 380 pounds.
That's impressive. Someone says, but Wilford probably played at 375. Maybe they were just giving him the generous, but I mean, that's still 75 pounds less than him.
Just imagine him lined up at fullback, running full steam ahead at you as Isaiah Pacheco or a rookie running back is behind him. That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, tough way to go about doing a job there.
All right,
new tush push is coming.
Yeah.
If they don't ban it, that's how the Chiefs do it.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending, then we'll get back into what we saw from the Royals last night, specifically on the bullpen usage. That's coming up right here on Code Eagle.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.